to Reading Glasses, a show about book culture and literary life designed to help you read better. I'm author and book devourer Mallory O'Mara.
And I'm Bria Graham, filmmaker and e-reader. This episode, we've got a new genre alert. There it is. For horror romance. Plus, we're talking about book tech for hot tub reading. Wow, one near and dear to my heart. And solving a problem about breaking the spines of library books.
But first, Bria, what are you reading?
Should it be allowed? I am reading, I can't remember if I talked about this in our non-binary episode. I don't know if I did. I have been reading in the mornings at like a comic book that I just like keep downstairs, a graphic novel. I'm reading Genderqueer by Maya Kobe.
Ooh, very famous book.
Off air, I was just telling you that I watched all the Oscar docs, which was really fun. And Mallory's boyfriend worked on one of them, which was great. But there's also one called The ABCs of Book Banning. And it is all about books that have been banned. And this is the most banned book currently, Genderqueer.
Yeah, it's making people pretty mad.
They're so mad about this book, about this coming of age where this person, where Maya, so it is an autobiographical graphic novel. And it's just about coming of age, not being sure of what your gender is, exploring your sexuality. It's a very cute book so far. Like, I find it like very charming, like to see everything that Maya has been through and also, you know, like high school relationships and like maybe a crush, maybe not a crush, and like what it means to like not know if like, oh, maybe I'm a lesbian. Maybe I'm bisexual. Maybe I'm asexual. It's a very great look at that if you have never experienced that, even if you have, or haven't. And it's just the art is really cute. Like it's very like, it feels like very accessible, if that makes sense. It's just been a really nice little graphic novel to read for me in the mornings when I'm like eating breakfast and like get to learn more about this interesting person's coming of age. And it's just an interesting graphic novel.
Very important book.
It's a great book. What are you reading?
I am reading a 2024 book.
Great. So I don't know if I've read a single 2024 book. I was thinking about that this morning.
This is one of those books I kind of picked up on a whim. It was in our most anticipated books episode for beginning of 2024. And I saw it in a bookstore while I was in Skylight Books, while I was signing copies of the paperback of Girly Drinks. And I was like, I want to get this book. And I'm glad that I did. It's a grief book. And you know how I've been like weirdly obsessed with grief books for a while. Mm-hmm. It's about this young woman. She lives in Canada with her brother and her dad. But the whole family's from Jamaica. And they had left it when the main character was really young. They left when their mother died. So it was the dad and the brother and her left, but her big sister stayed behind. Her big sister did not want to go to America, or to America first and then Canada. And now, this is not a spoiler, the brother has died and the sister like has never come to visit them, never went to, like, even when they called her up and was like, hey, your brother is dying, you need to come, she never came. So the main character is really upset about this, and she's decided, I'm just going to go back to Jamaica and find her and have this reunion, whether she likes it or not. And, you know, living in Canada, she grew up in Jamaica, has always thought of herself as Jamaican, and she comes back and, like, realizes that she can't kind of understand what anybody is saying because she's been gone for so long. And like, she can't understand like the specific dialect. She kind of is, the certain things that she's forgotten, certain things that she's remembered. Like, the reunion with her sister is not what she wanted it to be. Her sister's very standoffish and she feels like she has been abandoned, while the main character feels like they were the ones who got abandoned. And the main character is gay, and her sister keeps trying to tell her, like, you can't be open about that here. Like, something bad is going to happen to you. And she doesn't want to listen to her. And it's just this really interesting novel about like grief and your roots and your culture. And like, it's really beautifully written. It's definitely like a character book, but also kind of a language book. And I am using it as my book to read for the Reading Glasses Challenge that takes place in a country you've never been to, because I've never been to Jamaica. So, but I'm really enjoying it. I never even said what this book is called. It's called Brought Upsy by Christina Cook.
And mine is Genderqueer by Maya Kobabe.
So we want to take a moment to share some listener feedback. Lena wrote in to say, hi, you were curious about reading stats in other countries. We still are. Other people from around the world, please email us. But here are some for Norway. So Lena's from Norway and says, in 2022, 26% of Norwegians read books every day, which is very cool. 14% of Norwegians read 21 books or more during 2019. Most read 1 to 4, and only 13% of people read no books. So that's compared to America, where it was like 46% of people read no books, but in Norway, it's only 13.
Wow. Well-read country.
And then a new study conducted by the Norway's Publishers and Book Dealers Association showed that 90% of all Norwegian men and 97% of Norwegian women had read at least one or more books last year. Fully 48% of the women said they had read more than 10 books last year.
Whoa.
Wow, Bria, we got to keep up with these Norwegian
They're reading.
Ladies.
They're reading.
That is cool.
That is really cool. Anne wrote in and said, hello, Mallory and Bria. I recently learned about an app specifically for selling used books that I thought fellow glassers might want to know about. While I prefer to donate my books to prison programs, they don't allow hardcovers or certain genres. The only other option in my area is the Salvation Army, so I've had a stack of books piling up that I haven't known what to do with. I just started selling them to Pango Books, and I've had a good experience so far. It's a platform just for selling books. You make your own little shop, use the app to take photos of the book, and list it by its ISBN. Shipping is paid by the buyer, and Pango gives you a shipping label that you can print from home. All you have to do is package it and drop it off at the post office. You can even have sales in your shop. The downsides are that Pango does take a small cut of the profits, and it's not available outside the United States. However, it's easy, it's a great way to find homes for books that you can't donate, and it's unaffiliated with Amazon. You won't get rich, but you can at least make a little cash to buy more books with.
Hell yeah, that's the spirit.
Plus, the mascot is an adorable little pangolin?
Yes.
What is a pangolin?
It looks kind of like, it's like a cuter armadillo.
Oh, I know what that looks like. Oh, yeah, cute. Have you used this, Mallory? That's cool.
No. Mostly because I don't sell a lot of books, even though I ship.
You could. You could have your own little shop. Your shop would be very popular, Mallory.
I know. And then, I would only use it to buy more books.
The Books for Books Fund.
I do have a keychain, a little like coin purse on my keys that says book money on it. And I feel like Anne would appreciate this. But if you use Pango Books, write in, let us know. We could do a little review of this. Mm-hmm. And then Rebecca wrote in to say, hi, Brian Mallory. I have a suggestion for the glasser who wanted to find out what their friend was reading so they could give better bookish gifts. Now, okay. I put Rebecca's in here, but I do want to say that we had at least 4 or 5 people write in with this exact same tip. And
because this was the person who was like, I want to give gifts to my friend. And this is our thing, but I never know if he has already has the book, and I want him to take pictures of his shelves and he won't do it. And I don't want to give him a book he already has.
Yes.
Okay.
So Rebecca, and along with some other very smart glassers, said, many years ago, someone gave me a bookstore gift card along with a short list of suggested books that he loved and a brief description / explanation of why. It was so much fun to look for them in the bookstore and learn more about my friend through his favorite books. I ended up buying one of them, and it's become one of those favorites that I revisit every few years. I probably wouldn't have picked this book on my own, but getting a thoughtful suggestion made it special. Love the pod and the glasser community.
Yeah.
So you basically curate like a little tasting menu for your friend.
I love
it. And they look for, with the gift card, they look for it in the bookstore and pick off that list which one they want to read the most. I think that's a great like in between, like, I don't want to get you a book because I have no idea what you have, but I don't want to just get you a gift card. Like, mm-hmm. I think that's a perfect in between solution. I think this is awesome.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I love that, Rebecca. And a lot of people had the same idea.
Yes. So you want to read Rebecca's wheelhouse?
Uh-huh. Found family, animal or ghost narrators, magical realism, people pursuing a dream, and middle-aged or older women who taketh no shit.
We love it. You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com if you want a list of all the books we talk about on the show delivered to your inbox every month. You can sign up for our newsletter. There's a link in the show notes. And folks, huge bookmark. One of the biggest bookmarks we're going to have all year. Folks, this month, it's happening. It's happening. Maximum Fun Drive. Every single year, we do a drive with our wonderful podcast network, Maximum Fun. It lasts for 2 weeks. We're going to do tons of events. We're going to do tons of fun stuff. But the best part is you're going to get gifts. You're going to get extra things. We are going to have goals for the show. All kinds of fun stuff is happening, all in the hopes that you will sign up to support us, to become a member of Maximum Fun that supports Reading Glasses, help us make the show every week. We are going to kick off the drive, which starts on Monday, March 18th, with a live reader problem solving session on Instagram Live. It's going to be at 5 p.m. Pacific. Bria and I are going to hop on Instagram Live and solve your reader problems live with you there. Well, if you want to, you can even come up on the screen. You can come up on video. We'll Absolutely. Ask you your reader problem. We're going to solve it for you live. It's going to be so much fun. So that's Monday, March 18th at 5 p.m. Pacific time on our Reading Glasses podcast Instagram. It's the kickoff of the drive. So keep an eye on us. Keep an eye on the show. Listen to the episodes when they come out. Keep an eye on our Instagram. We got a lot of fun stuff that's happening. That's all for you. It's all in the hopes that you will help us make the show that we've been doing every single week for many years now. So we really appreciate it. Keep an eye on the show. And again, that's Monday, March 18th at 5 p.m. Pacific time on Instagram. So before we delve into a new genre alert, we're going to take a quick break. Reading Glasses is brought to you in part this week by Hello Comics. But what is Hello Comics? It is a woman-owned comic book shop with an incredible selection of graphic novels, manga, and new and vintage comics. They believe comic book shops should be welcoming, not gatekeeping. They have lots of books about superheroes, but they got all kinds of wheelhouse stuff for you folks. There's sci-fi, romance, adventure, horror. Comics are more than dudes in tights. And yeah, they really love dudes in tights, but they got a lot more than that. Folks, if you are really into graphic novels, if you're really into comics, but you've always been a little intimidated because it felt like comic book stores would not be a welcoming atmosphere for you, Hello Comics has got you covered. And there's a special landing page for Reading Glasses listeners where they've curated their top 5 picks of the week for each episode. Oh my God, how cool is that? So go check that out, folks. We know there's nothing better than getting hand-sold things and getting book lists curated for you. They've got all sorts of genres. They're a wonderful, inclusive, welcoming environment. Literally everything you could ever want from a comic book store. Check it out. You can discover graphic novels, manga, and more at hellocomics.net and get 25% off your order with coupon code GLASSES. That's hellocomics.net. Code GLASSES for 25% off. Glasses.
It's hard to explain what happens on Jordan, Jesse, Go.
So I had my kids do it.
Saying swear words.
Saying swear words.
Yeah, bad jokes.
Bad jokes?
Bad jokes. Maybe it's like you tell people that you're going to interview them and then you just stay there like really quiet and try and creep them out.
It's just really boring.
Because of Jordan, right? Not me.
Because of both of you.
Oh.
Subscribe to Jordan, Jesse, Go,
a comedy show for grown-ups.
This week, get out your slide whistle. It's a new genre alert. We are going to be talking about a hot, hot, hot genre, horror romance, or horror romance, as I've seen people start to call it. What is it? How do you find it? Why does everyone love it so much? We are getting into it. So one of the most popular recommendation requests that we get is for horror with romance. I think last year, like every other recommendation request we got was either, please give me a sci-fi book for my dad to read, or I want a horror book with some romance in it. So many emails with a huge uptick over the past few years, especially last year. The online bookish community has just started calling it horror-romance, so be on the lookout for this genre to get even more popular over this year and next. I'd say that even though people have been writing this for literally decades and even centuries, I think the current hunger for it was kicked off in a big way by Mexican Gothic. What do you think, Bria?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think it depends on how long we want to go back, because I started thinking also like Twilight. You know what I mean? Like there's definitely like, but yes, like this recent run
the current
at
wave.
It, yeah, maybe does feel like Mexican Gothic, particularly with like people not teenagers, you know, like people reading who are in there, like, not reading specifically YA. I haven't dove into it as I feel like you have. I feel like this is something you really love. I think it's fun, though, because it spans the sort of like silly, fun titled ones. Like there's a lot of those. And then the far more serious ones. Like I think it's quite a big genre.
Yeah.
And what do you think is the crossover with gothic romance? You know, because that one is quite old, too. That's 1700s is the first.
I really think romance. This is just gothic romance in a fancy hat and a mustache. Uh-huh.
Like, yes. Well, in a fancy dress, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Or
with
a more modern dress.
Candelabra.
A modern dress because it's not gothic anymore.
Running down a hallway. I do think there are some differences. Like I think some of these horror books are like scarier than straight up gothic romance.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think it is the same flavor. Like,
yeah.
If gothic romance is buffalo sauce, horror romance is like Frank's Red Hot. Like, it's very close.
Wow.
Very
I didn't know
close.
Where you were going. I was like, what's close to buffalo sauce? I guess that is.
Frank's Red Hot, I think,
okay.
is pretty close.
Okay. All right. I don't really know what that tastes like, but I trust you.
I love hot sauce. All right. So what exactly is horror romance? It is a horror novel with a major romance plot. Or a romance novel with a major horror plot. It's like it's like romanticy. It's like, oh, you got your chocolate and my peanut butter. You got your peanut butter and my chocolate. Like the only difference here, and I think Bria, you just sort of alluded to this, is like the structure of the book. Because like romance novels have a very particular structure and almost always have either a happily ever after or a happily for now. Horror novels do not have that like same sort of like there's no one structure that most horror novels follow, and they are definitely not guaranteed to give you a happily ever after. But something to be aware of. Also, it is different from paranormal romance, I want to say. Paranormal romance, again, is in the same, like, I feel like gothic romance, horror romance, and then, like, paranormal romance are kind of all in the same cul-de-sac, but they are different from each other.
Yeah, like, if they're all wearing hats, I think you're right. That gothic romance is like an old-timey hat. Horror romance is like a monster mask. And paranormal romance is a tinfoil hat.
Yeah. Because, like, paranormal romance is literally just is a romance novel, same structure as a romance novel, but it has the horror elements where a lot of these...
I thought paranormal romance was more like aliens.
It can be. It's aliens. Oh, okay. It's like...
It's not about who you're romancing. It's about that it's more of a romance.
Yes. And it's like those quote shifter romances, like werewolves, stuff like that. It's like all like paranormal, but it's not normally meant to be very scary. And it's just like, I think you're right. It is more about who you're romancing. Where these horror romance books, like they're a horror, not like there are actual scary elements to them. Plus horniness.
And also probably the paranormal romance does have happily ever after.
Yes.
Okay, then I revise my statement. Maybe that hat is more of a, you know, like a jaunty cap or something.
Yes.
It's not.
A feather sticking out of it.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
They're all similar, but I think the energy is different, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, Bria, people have been clamoring for horror romance books for the past, especially the past year or so. Why do we think people are so hungry for this new hot subgenre?
Well, it's interesting to me that these two genres have come together because it's very like genre in quotes, you know, horror and romance are two genres that can be really dismissed by mainstream readers, by snooty readers, by just people who haven't dipped their toe into them. And it's interesting that now they're teaming up. It's like these the two, team up of the outcasts.
It is like, it's a romance in itself. These two scrappy genres, they met each other. They're like, no one respects us. Let's make out.
I was also thinking that, like, they're both kind of scary in a way because, you know, romance can be scary, right? You're vulnerable. Mm-hmm. You're opening up to a stranger. And then also there are ghosts. Like, it's just like it's kind of it's like two sides of the same coin, you know, like it's like two scary things. Like,
there are some people who would argue that that is scarier. Like, ooh, should I be vulnerable or fight a vampire? Ooh,
exactly.
I'll take the vampire
instead. And also combine them in like what happens if you're vulnerable to someone who isn't who they said they were. They are a vampire. You know, like that's actually two scary things. That feels to me like it's sort of two sides of the same coin. And then my other theory is that it's just these Twilight readers are just getting bored. They've read Twilight 100 times. They've gotten older and they're like, it's time to amp this
shit
up.
Give us more horny vampires.
We're back. Or like, they're like, you know what? I used to love Twilight. Is there anything else out there like that? And they're looking for that again, you know, and not necessarily just Twilight. I think there's a lot of those like from that era, but I think that it definitely is a genre that has its fans.
So people who read paranormal romance when they were teenagers, now they're grown up and they're like, I want an open door romance. I want something scarier and hornier at the same time.
That's my theory. What do you think? Why do you think people are getting hungry for this?
I actually think it's also what you said about two genres that people don't respect a lot. Because both of these genres are really super massively popular right now. So in the 90s and the early 2000s, they were very quiet for horror books. You know, it was such a glut of horror books in the 80s and the early 90s that, like, it's the same thing that happened to urban fantasy after the early 2000s. Like, there was just so much of it. No one wanted to buy any more of it, and horror kind of was quiet for a while. A lot of horror novels were labeled as supernatural thriller. Like, I remember when Paul Tremblay's Head Full of Ghosts came out in 2015. They did not call it a horror book. It was labeled a supernatural thriller. Like, that's how recent this was. And now, obviously, horror is back, bigger than ever. Like, horror is being reviewed in the New York Times. Some of the best-selling books are horror books. And same thing for romance, even though romance has been continued to be published. It's like, after so many years of romance being put down, it's trashy, it's not like a serious genre. Like, so many people have been like, no, fuck you. Romance is, like, one of the most important genres. It is, like, you don't find better character writing than you do in the romance community. You know, romance books are finally getting reviewed by more, like, critically acclaimed and, it like, quote, important, influential publications. So it's, like, finally getting respect in the wider literary community and, like, a very well-deserved moment in the spotlight. And so there are these two genres alike in horniness. The world feels awful right now, has for a while. So, like, what better way to escape than with a genre that will scare you and distract you, but also make you horny? Like, it just feels like the perfect mix of, like, stuff to distract you.
Escapism.
We're in an election year, you know, like, all I want, like, that really truly sounds like all that I want.
Mm-hmm.
So how do we find these books, Bria?
I mean, so if horror romance is the term, right? So we're saying not that one, not paranormal romance. We're going horror romance specifically.
Yes.
So if you're asking your librarian, you're asking a bookseller, you need to be specific, right? You want romance with horror elements or horror with romance, a romance subplot. And also, know thyself as a reader. Which one are you looking for? Even though they both might fall into horror romance, I'm probably way more likely to read a horror novel with a romance subplot rather than picking up a romance novel with horror elements.
Yes, like two perfect examples. Like, Lana Harper is a really popular witchy romance is really popular right now. And all her books, they are romances. They have a structure of a romance novel, but they're all about witches and magic and demons and shit. But there's also Rachel Harrison. Like, Such Sharp Teeth is a horror novel, but it's also a romance book. It's about a romance with someone. So, but they have very different structures, very different energies. So just, I think that's a good tip. Know yourself. Which one are you looking for?
They're both going to fall into it, but there is a little bit of a range within the category itself.
Yes. So Bria, are there any books that we recommend or books that we haven't read but are horror romance and we want to check out?
Well, I think if we're counting Mexican Gothic, I think we could also count Silver Nitrate.
Oh, I agree, for sure.
Yeah, which is another Silvia Moreno Garcia book. If you liked Mexican Gothic, I would definitely tell you, like, if that one, like, sparked your interest and you're like, oh, I liked that, maybe I like horror romance. I think Silver Nitrate you would also like, which is all about an editor in the film industry and a famous actor in Mexico, and they go on a little horror-related adventure.
Is it in the 70s? I'm trying to remember when it's... technically count as, like, it's like historical fiction, but it's, you know...
Yeah. Yeah.
Because somehow the 80s were...
History. It's history. But, what do you have?
I have not read yet, but it just came out. I have an arc of it. I'm really pumped to read it because it's a New England dark academia lesbian retelling of Camilla.
Oh.
It's called An Education in Malice by S.T. Gibson. But it is like... Yeah, it is... Hot, mean lesbians in a New England boarding school and dark shit happens. Like, it's supposed to be very spicy, very dark. I'm really excited to read it. You know, I love so much of this, but I was like, ooh, New England retelling of Carmilla? Like, hell yeah. And this is definitely more on the side of a dark horror book with a major romance subplot.
It just sounds like
such a Glasser book that I'm real. And the cover... Done by Orbit is it's so beautiful. So very excited. What's your next one?
I am saying we should talk about the Glasser fave, book club fave, Starling House.
I did not know that this was a horror romance until I just finished it last night. We're doing, when you listen to this, it will already have happened, but our Glasser Book Club is happening this week, and I was so pleasantly surprised that there was a big romance element to this book.
It's a bit horny. Yeah, I was surprised as well, and I think that one was a really fun one. Also, I wanted to make sure we were covering, you have one, a queer romance on there. I started thinking about Echo by Thomas Hvelt. It has a romance and a giant scary mountain. I would say it's way more giant scary mountain and visions and darkness than it is romance, but it does have some romance in there. But yeah, I think both of those are fun ones to pick up.
For backlist readers, I have to shout out an entire author, one that you and I both love, Simone St. James.
Yeah.
She has like two categories of books. One, she has like horror-esque, dark mystery, thrillery books. And then she has these historical horror books with major romance subplots. A lot of her early books are those. They're like historical horror, and romance is a major part of the book. One that I'll recommend is The Other Side of Midnight. I loved it. You've got this basically a medium, and she ends up investigating this crime, and she has to team up with this detective who is a huge skeptic, does not believe in anything that she does, but he's very sexy, and the two of them are sexy at each other, and they're trying to solve this murder of this other psychic that she knew, and you got romance and ghosts and a big spooky mystery, and it's just fantastic. So if you're looking for backlist books, because you're going to see a lot of the book coming out this year are, a lot of horror books have big romance subplots, and I think part, because it's so hot, it's not just that authors are being allowed to include more horniness in their books. I think it's that publishers are also flaunting it more. Think that because romance was, you know, people were not respecting it, publishers would be like, oh, it's just a horror book. And now they're like, look at this horny ass horror book. Ding, 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 like banging that dinner bell so all the readers can come get it. So just if you are someone who likes looking at new book news, keep an eye on that, because I think it's definitely going to be a big thing. But I think these books, when you look at them, they're just kind of listed as historical horror, but they are straight up very romantic. And we love her. All of her books are great. So you can send your thoughts on horror romance to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Before we solve a problem about reading in the hot tub, we're going to take a quick break. Reading Glasses is brought to you in part this week by Microdose Gummies. Let's talk about microdosing. You know that just right feeling when your body and mind are really at peace. Maybe you just worked out. Maybe you just had a nice long shower. Maybe you just finished a really, really good book. You're relaxed, you're focused, maybe a little energized. It's called being in the zone, and Microdose Gummies can help you get into that zone easier and stay there longer. But what are Microdose Gummies? They're gummies that deliver perfect entry-level doses of THC that help you feel just the right amount of good. Whether you're trying to be creative, you're trying to come down after a heavy workout, which happens to me all the time, you want to sleep a little bit more, you want to feel a little less anxious, Microdose Gummies can help you with all of the sharp edges of being alive. There's so many stresses in our daily life, so many moments in your day where you might want to feel a little more at peace, a little more relaxed, a little more connected to yourself. Microdose Gummies has got you covered. And you can get 30% off your first order plus free shipping today at microdose.com, promo code glasses. It's available nationwide. It's microdose.com, promo code glasses for 30% off and free shipping. It's microdose.com, promo code glasses. Glasses.
Max Fun Drive 2024.
Max Fun Drive? What about it?
It'll be the best time for someone to support the podcasts they love.
Oh, yeah. Drive exclusive gifts, special events, and of course, all the amazing bonus content.
Yeah.
So, what's on your mind? Check.
Well, it starts March 18th, and it's only 2 weeks long.
And? Check.
Well, what if they miss it?
Well, they should follow Max Fun on social media or sign up for the newsletter at MaximumFun.org/newsletter so they don't miss it. Otherwise, checkmate.
Time to look at some in book tech, advances in bookish technology, Michaela wrote in to say, "Hi, Mallory and Bria, love your podcast. I have a problem that I need some recommendations / ideas for. We just got a hot tub and we hang out there for probably an hour at a time. We've been watching TV, but I really like to read, obviously. I read both paper and Kindle books. I'm not sure the best way to get reading in to avoid the steam and heat. I don't want to bring my Kindle out and accidentally drop it and then need a new Kindle. I've thought about audio, but don't want to drop my headphones in the hot tub or listen on a speaker and have my neighbors listen to steamy scenes if it's a romance." Bria, I love this. Do you want to read Michaela's wheelhouse?
Mm-hmm. Fantasy, Victorian era, book set in Scotland and Ireland, witchy reads, and paranormal romance. Here we are. Right there. Right there.
All right, Bria, what should Michaela do?
Wow.
Besides invite you Michaela, over.
Yeah. Well, for some reason when I read this, I thought it was an hour a day in the hot tub. And I was like, yes. Yes, an hour a day in the hot tub. Where do you live? Invite me. I would love to come. It's my dream to own a hot tub one day. So I did a little digging and I have some bad news. Apparently waterproof Kindles aren't supposed to be in steam, period. Because I wonder if it like gets in the electronic parts or something. Like,
I don't know.
I don't know.
Maybe it's just the heat affects the screen.
Maybe because, okay, I've actually taken mine into the saunas at the Korean spa, which are hot, but not so, so hot. And like, you can lay in like the clay balls or whatever in the Korean spa. And I have read it in there and it has been fine. But I've also been outside in Palm Springs and it has gotten too hot and the little screen comes on that says it's overheated. So it definitely overheats. It didn't in that one in particular, but I think that it just wasn't hot enough. So yeah, I think that the little parts inside, if they get steam and water in there, that's not good. Also, apparently they're only good for fresh water. You can only get fresh water in them. So that means chlorinated and salt water. I don't know which one your hot tub is.
That feels weird. That feels like something they should advertise because like chlorinated and salt water feels like most of the water that people are in if they're swimming.
This is what I did. I mean, maybe this is Kindles. I don't know about Kobos. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know if that's, and I don't know if it's changed, but that's what I found online. So I'll be honest with you. If you were me, first of all, I'd be very happy because I would be living a life in a hot tub. I would still take it in and I would just hang over the side. And so that steam and water didn't touch it. But listen, I like to live life on the edge. I like to see what happens. So I think if you want to be safe, waterproof earbuds. They exist. I've looked into them for swimming laps. Apparently, they aren't great for swimming laps, but they do apparently work, and they have wireless ones. So you could listen to an audiobook, and it would be waterproof. And the earbuds, these waterproof earbuds are made for chlorinated any kind of water. For some reason, they don't get great reviews because I have looked into buying them myself, but it seems like for this purpose, it would be okay. What do you got?
What if Michaela got a waterproof e-reader and then got one of those floating tables to like, you know, when like okay. You see in the tub, there's like those tables that go across your tub. What if Michaela got one of those floating tables for a hot tub and just like put the waterproof e-reader on the floating thing and that's how they read?
And then the steam wouldn't come up into the e-reader? Maybe. I don't know how steam works. I feel like steam, like, does steam just go upward?
We're not scientists here on reading glasses.
Or does it circulate? Does it circulate or does it just go straight up? I think it circulates. That's the problem.
Well, Bria, we got to break out potentially our hottest book tech tip of all time.
Yeah.
It's the plastic bag.
Plastic bag, yeah. Great.
We tested this out so many years ago and we were both so skeptical of just put like if you were going in the tub and this works for any kind of water. You're in the ocean, you're in the bathtub, you're in a hot tub, whatever, you're in a pool. You just put your e-reader in a plastic bag and you read it through that and it works. It really works. It'll protect you from steam. You can obviously see through the screen. It's a little bit of crinkling involved, but I would have Michaela try this. I thought that's what you were going to say. It's like we were going to break out the plastic bag because it is one of the silliest but best things we've ever done on this show.
You would think, here's the thing, I still just hang over the bathtub. I'm too lazy. I'm so lazy. And I'm just like, if I can just like get in the bathtub and hang over the side, I feel like that's, I live life on the edge.
Of the bathtub.
Yeah, that's right.
So Michaela, you can pull a Bria and hang over the edge and just, you know, live life as it comes. You could try waterproof earbuds. I would recommend for the cheapest way, just get a plastic bag, keep it outside next to the hot tub, next to your towels or whatever. Read your e-reader through that because it does work. You can both turn the pages and press the buttons through the bag. I'll see if I can link the episode that we did that in. I think that was the first year of the show.
It was very early.
But I would also recommend getting a floating table. There's tons of them. I see them on the all the time on Instagram. And get a waterproof. You can get a waterproof e-reader for like used for around $50. And if Michaela's in the hot tub all the time, I think it'll be worth the investment. I am a big bathtub reader. I don't have a hot tub, to my great sadness. And I've almost entirely switched all my bathtub reading to a Kobo, mostly because it's so much easier and my Kobo is waterproof. I never thought about checking how hot the water can get. Although I will say, knock on wood, I have never dropped, in all the tubs that I've taken, I've never dropped my Kobo in the water.
That's good. That's good.
But so there's a bunch of ideas for you, Michaela. Right back in and give us an update. I'm dying to know which one of these techniques you try and which ones you use and you works for you. So you can send your book tech ideas to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com, or you can check out the wish list that we have in the show notes if you want to send us something to test out. Now let's solve a bookish problem from one of our listeners. Dear Reading Glasses, I am having an incredibly specific library problem, and I figured no one would understand me like you do. I recently discovered that my local library has some sheet music, just another amazing thing libraries have. I love it because they have everything from bluegrass songs that are great for the fiddle to modern Disney or pop songs for guitar and vocals. The problem I'm having is, normally, if I had purchased these books of music, you would have to crack the spines to train them to stay open because your hands are obviously busy with the instrument and you need to be able to see the full spread of pages. And often, you have to turn the pages quickly, so something like a phone holding the pages open is not ideal. However, obviously these are library books, so I would feel awful breaking the spine. What do I do? Thank you so much for your amazing podcast. I tell everyone I know about it, and you're the reason I became a Maximum Fun member. Thank you. This is from Musical Mess in Modesto. Bria, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. This is very, very tough. This is an extra step, but my husband, who is in music, said to photocopy it. Again, extra step, but I bet your library does have a photocopier. But yeah, I mean, I think this is tough, and I don't know why it hasn't come up before. I think you should talk to your librarian about it, because I kept thinking, like, is there a holder that you could use? But I think it would be too hard to flick any pages. The flicking is the issue, right? With photocopy pages, that wouldn't be a problem. But that doesn't help you very much if you don't have a photocopier at your library or whatever. I don't know. What is your suggestion?
Well, I was going to say Musical Mess should try spine training. Yeah, like, what if you spine train these books so that they'll lay flat and stay open without cracking the spine?
Yeah, it's a good idea. Also,
but Musical Mess, I would absolutely try spine training. Just remember, I thought it was some lady on Instagram, but according to Bria's stepdad, it has been around for a long time. So just Google spine training and look for videos. Although I would also argue that, Bria, it seems like a lot of people who use these sheet music books are probably having a similar problem. So maybe cracking the spine is not a bad thing. Right?
I don't know. I would say talk to your librarian, you know?
Yeah, I would go up and be like, I want to crack this spine. What do I do?
Yeah. Yeah. And like, just be like, this is the situation.
I'm trying to look at this book while playing the piano. What do I do? I would either try spine training or ask your librarian's permission to crack the spine.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Or, I mean, again, photocopying definitely works, but I mean, and then you have it forever, which is nice.
Yeah.
But it is an extra strap. Musical Mess, right back in. Let us know which one of these solutions helps you out. And if you want us to solve your reader problem, no matter how niche it is, send it to readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. As always, want to thank the wonderful mods who run our Facebook group. And remember, you want to look cute for the spring. You can buy Reading Glasses totes and shirts and sweatshirts and stickers, all kinds of fun stuff over at our Void merch store. There's a link in the show notes. And if you like the show and want to do something real nice for us that is totally free, please rate and review us on the podcast listening app of your choice. It is really great for us and helps us reach more readers. You can email us at readingglassespodcast@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram at Reading Glasses Podcast. Thanks for listening and thanks for reading.
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.